Can everybody hear me okay? Excellent. Now you're my captives. Just getting some stuff out of the way. It's fine. So, oh, nope, I don't want that. There we go. Good morning. How is everyone today? I'm doing pretty good too, I think. We'll see. Usually I don't look at my previous messages, but this time I was kind of not really sure what to do, so I was looking over a past one. I was like, I'm a pretty good speaker. And then I thought, well, that's really braggy. But then I realized that bragging is not to me, that's 100% to him. Because I couldn't do any of that without him. And I'm always trying to make sure that I try to get out of my own head and, you know, distractions I have away before I speak, because you want it to come from him, right? So the bragging is really about what God can do. He's kind of amazing. Anyway, I don't know if I'll need these or not, but we'll see. Actually, let's start with prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this day and this opportunity to share knowledge about you, interesting things about you, what you have asked of us in this particular sense. I just pray that you would help me to move things out of your way so that you can speak what you want to speak in this message. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. So a while ago, I did a message on accountability. Does anybody remember that one? Good. If you weren't here, here's just a little bit of a recap. So we talked about how intimacy and closeness to the right relationship with other Christ followers can help you to grow. We all know the Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Whether you're a believer or not, you know that if you're hanging out with the right people, whatever that means to you, that you're hopefully going to be influenced by them. So hopefully it's with other Christ believers, because that's probably the biggest, if not the biggest thing that we need to work on as individuals, is our relationship with Christ, because kind of everything else doesn't really matter after that, and or it falls into place. So that's kind of up to him, obviously, what happens with each situation. But if we've got that part taken care of, then the rest of life is, I'm not going to say easy, because clearly it's not, full of worship and praise. Full of worship and praise. And thanksgiving. So one of the things we talked about for accountability is that it is two believers. Obviously, you have accountability in, you know, your friend groups and Bible studies and things like that. But specifically for a quote-unquote official accountability relationship, it's for two people, preferably of the same gender, two believers committed to bringing out the best in each other, but with 100% love and 100% truth. So this is the person that you're going to be sharing a lot with as far as your personal life, your mental health, your emotional health, all those things, obviously, your walk with God. And as the two of you work in those different areas with each other, you both grow because you're sharpening each other. And of course, that's what we all want, I hope. So today, I feel like we're looking at the other side of that coin. I mean, they're still related, but kind of the opposite. That with that deepest level of relationship, it can either sharpen you or it can dull you, depending on who you choose to put in which circle, which I'll talk about circles in a second. This message was actually prompted by two incidents that happened while I was camping last weekend with some friends. Yes, I know I don't look like the outdoorsy type, and I'm not, but I'm trying to get more. I am not, no. Mm-hmm. The most outdoorsy I am is like sitting outside Panera, and that never happens. So I'm working on it. But anyway, so I was camping with them, and there were six of us. And at one point, this was up in Michigan on the lake, and three of them decided they wanted to go to the beach and go kayaking, which I mean, that sounds fun. It's like I was against it or anything. But I felt like just staying back and relaxing like the other two were doing. So three of us stayed and three of us went. Later on, and I don't know if it was that same day or maybe when we were packing up, I don't remember, but at some point I realized I had sand in my things, sand in my clothes and sand on my shoes and sand in my blanket. I was like, how? I didn't go to the beach. How do I have sand everywhere? That's crazy. Heather's one of the people that went. She's one of my best friends. She's one of the people that went kayaking, and we shared an air mattress. So I got all the sand from her. Or at least most of it. I can't blame all of it on her, but a lot of it. And what God kind of shared with me about that is how we can be influenced by the people that we're around, whether it's for good or for bad. So with accountability partners, you're hoping that influence is good. But we also have to be careful of the negative influence we can get from other people, especially if they are not believers, so they don't have the same roadmap that we have. What the sand made me think about is how we interact with and grow with the people in our innermost circle, right? I'll give you the scriptures ahead of time so you can look for them, you know, at the time. But there's two main ones. One is 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. And the second one is, and I'll say these again throughout, Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. Mm-hmm. Whoops. Come on, iPad, work with me. So 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verses 33 and 34 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." This is the ESV, by the way. "Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame." I had to look that up because I was like, what is he talking about? So Paul was referring to false teaching in the church in Corinth. And because of that false teaching, people were not sharing the gospel in the way that it should be. And so the shame is more people don't know about God the way they should because you guys are believing this false teaching. And so that's kind of the premise of it. But anybody who's been in Bible study with me knows that I tend to look at additional translations because sometimes one may hit you differently than another one does. And so I just looked up a couple for this. The Contemporary English Version is, "Don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. Mm-hmm. Be sensible and stop sinning. You should be embarrassed that some people still don't know about God." I kind of like the way it was like straight and to the point though. So I might have to look at that version a little more. But I also always look at the Amplified. And if you guys don't know about this, I'm sure you do, but for anybody who doesn't, when you're translating from one language to another, some words can be more than one thing. We have the same thing. Words can be the same word, but mean something completely different, like read and read, or I don't know. I can't think of other ones at the moment. But anyway, so when people are translating from the original languages, there probably is more than one way often to translate a particular word. And that's where the translators then, who probably, I would assume, I hope, are relying on God for all of this, choose what makes the most sense based on the context of what they're speaking, which is why we have so many different translations. It's not that the original is different. It's not that someone is, you know, like wrong and the other one's right, usually. But it's just there's different ways to say it. So the Amplified tries to include all of those possibilities. So they'll typically put it in parentheses after the phrase or whatever. So Amplified says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Be sober-minded," which is also be sensible. "Wake up from your spiritual stupor as you ought and stop sinning, for some of you have no knowledge of God," in parentheses, "you are disgracefully ignorant of him and ignore his truths. I say this to your shame." So both of those other translations were a lot more convicting, I think, than the way the ESV says it. And there's nothing wrong with the way ESV says. I think it's just a different flavor, which is why I look at those other ones. Then I also looked at the Believer's Bible Commentary for some of these. And that's where I found it about, you know, that's where that Paul was talking about false teachers in that particular church, and you need to get rid of them. But one of the things that we need to know, this is from the commentator, is that it's impossible to have intimate, deep relationships with people who don't love God without being corrupted in some way by them. This also applies to teachings. if anything that you hear, including today, opposes God or opposes his word, get rid of it. You don't need it. It's not what he wants for you. It doesn't help in any way. Sometimes it harms. And so we just want to make sure that we get rid of those things. Be thinking for yourself. Be searching the Holy Spirit for guidance on these information, the people you're with, all of that. But I also looked at words because, as you know, I also love language very much. I love to talk, etc. The word company, let me go back to the verse. Bad company ruins good morals. So the word company there speaks of the people that we choose to associate with and allow to influence us. So it's not so much that we can't ever be friends or in relation, you know, kinds of relationships with non-believers. It's just that we have to be careful about who we let into that circle and how we let people influence us. If we do, some of us are, you know, very, you can't mess with how I feel. Those people are probably fine. But for the rest of us, we can be affected and not even know. And like with the sand, I didn't even go to the beach. But still, that activity affected me in a way. So even if you're hanging with, let's say you're hanging with, out with someone who loves to go party and get drunk on Fridays. There's a lot of those. So let's say you're friends with one of those, but you don't go. That's fine, except that they probably are influencing you in that way or other ways. You know what I mean? So you just have to be careful about how those people influence you. So I wanted to explain the circle of relationships with my better markers. I think all of us kind of know this concept, but I just wanted to make sure it was clear before we go on because it's kind of important. We all have various circles of relationships of people that we know and that we care about or that we just come across during the day. So this outer orange circle is like the public. So I would say like servers, other drivers. That can be bad. Who else? Doctors, nurses. I mean, whoever you interact with on a daily basis, that's probably not someone that knows a lot about you. And then we have the next one, which is a little closer. People know a little bit more about you, so maybe coworkers, maybe not. Maybe even some friends and family, if you don't know them very well, could be there. Acquaintances, so maybe a friend of a friend, that kind of thing. Then the pink would definitely include friends and family. Who else? Possibly your spouse, although most likely the spouse or partner is going to be in here. But anyway, that kind of level. And then, of course, the last level, the most important one that we're talking about today, is the inner circle. These are the people that know you better than anybody else. These are the people that you have hopefully made a conscious decision that you want them to be that involved in your life and you want to be that involved in theirs. A lot of people here at church, I feel like, could go in either of these because we are a family and we are friends, but there are different levels of friendship. Like Katie and Jenny know way more about me than some people, right? So you can have people in both areas, and Tom, I guess, whatever. But this would be, you know, like you're super, super close. So I'm gonna do that just to show that this is the people we're talking about right now for today. So, let's look at the Proverbs passage, which is 22:24-25. I'm just making sure I didn't skip anything because I feel like I might have. We're good. Okay, in the ESV, it says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. One of the things that I wanted to point out about Proverbs in general, this is a little different. I don't know if you, I'm sure you've thought of this, but like some books are poetry. Some books are letters. Some books are, you know, prophecy. So it just depends on how they're done. And the type of literature they are should influence how you read it. So for example, in Proverbs, these are things that, just like any proverb that you find just out in the world, you know, like if you give an inch, they'll take a mile, that kind of thing. they are not things that are necessarily true for every single person, and they are not necessarily promises that if you do A, B is going to happen in the Proverbs. So for example, if you are friends with someone who has some kind of quality that you don't want to espouse or that doesn't follow scripture or whatever, you are not guaranteed to end up being just like that person, right? But it's generally true that that could be an issue. So this is why I don't want to say like that 100% of the time that if you are friends with somebody, even out here, that is angry, that you're going to become angry. That's not what this proverb is about. It's more about, generally speaking, we affect each other. We all know that that's true. It's just a matter of who you allow to affect you and how much and when and all that. So CEV, the Contemporary English Version, says, don't make friends with anyone who has a bad temper. You might turn out like them and get caught in a trap. I like the trap part, because the trap would be the sin of whatever we're doing. It's just another thing that we have to deal with. And the Amplified, do not even associate with a man given to angry outbursts, or go along with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his undisciplined ways and get yourself trapped in a situation from which it is hard to escape. But again, not everybody, but this is the warning that we need to watch out for those people. If you are someone who is easily influenced by the people around you, let's say if somebody, people around you are grouchy, then you get grouchy. Or if people are talking a certain way, like they're you know, telling dirty jokes or whatever, and then you tell dirty jokes with them or whatever the thing is, if you're easily influenced by someone, then it probably is best for you not to associate with the people that are bringing you down, right? The other example I think of is with addiction counseling. One of the things they tell you is if you want to break that cycle, you have to get away from that group. You have to build different friendships with people who don't have addiction as their main issue. So this is not a new concept in any way, but just that it's something that we should probably be more intentional about. Who do I want to bring into that inner circle, and how are they going to affect me for good or for evil? Closeness, when we're close with other people, that creates something called transference. For good or ill, we influence each other. You absorb what you're near without even realizing it, like that sand. Not even that I didn't realize it. Again, I did not go to the beach. So the fact that it's an activity I didn't even take part in, but I'm still affected by it, that's kind of a big deal to me, at least. You don't want to become intertwined with someone that can bring you down. Another way I heard this explained is many, many years ago, and I don't even remember who said it, but if you are up on a table, let's say that God's path for you or your relationship with him, what have you, has you up on this table. You're standing up there, everything's great, and you have a friend who's down here in the rest of the world who doesn't believe or maybe tries to take you down wrong paths because of what you used to be like or whatever that happens to be. This person, while you're trying to pull them up onto the table with you, hopefully, right, they're going to be trying to pull you down. And who do you think is going to have the easier path? The one down there, exactly, because gravity is going to help them. So it's much easier to be pulled down than it is to pull other people up, which is another reason why we have to be careful about who we let influence us or who we let, you know what I mean. This is also for any of our fans out there of true crime. This is also a tenet in true crime, in forensics. When they first started modern forensics, is like in 18-something, I don't know, the guy figured out that any time that we interact with another object or another person, there's transference of something. And we know this having seen any cases. I was telling my mom about this one the other night. She doesn't believe me, but probably because I don't remember it right, and that's fine. But I remember that there was a case where the guy, the murderer or whatever, had this car, and like 20 years later, the cops figured out he had this car and they wanted to test it. 20 years later, it had been sold twice. They found the car and there were still pet hairs in that car from the victim's pet. So that kind of, there's no way either one of them knew. She probably didn't even know she had cat hair on her. I say cat, it didn't have to be cat, that's just what popped in my head. You know, because they shed so much. But anyway, the two of them just had this unfortunate encounter, and whatever else happened, that cat hair was there and it stayed in that car. So unless somebody does something about it to clear the way, that sand or that cat hair or that glitter for Jenny is going to be everywhere, and you're going to find it years later still there. So yeah, that we just know that that's a thing. Tom's not going to be happy. I'm going too fast. That's okay. Let's see here. So what's the point of all this? I think the point is pretty clear that you have to be careful about who you're with. However, I don't want anybody to misunderstand that I'm saying we should not be friends with people who are not believers. That's not what I'm saying. Because we all know that the most effective witness is through relationships. We were created for relationships. Adam had God to himself in that garden. All day, every day. And even God said, I think you should have a friend. You know what I mean? So if that's what God thinks, and he made us this way, then clearly that's part of our just our makeup, right? So I'm not saying at all to do that. The point, though, is to add awareness and intentionality in the choices for who you get to be in this circle, who gets to know you the best. I'm actually learning this myself at 51, almost 52. We won't talk about that. But anyway, I'm just not, because I'm the kind of person who, I know you guys have seen me, talked to me for many years now. You know I'm the same person no matter where I am. I talk just as much with someone I don't know as someone as I do know, for the most part. I'm just the same all the time. Well, I realized recently, let's say in the last 6 months or so, that you don't want to let everyone have all of you all the time. I'm still trying to figure out how to do that because I'm so used to being the other way. And it's not about being false. It's not about being changing your personality for other people, because I don't think I could do that if I tried. It's just about who am I going to allow to know as much about me as the people in this group. I don't need to tell the waitress that I like my medical issues and stuff. That's none of his or her business. But I can talk to my mom about that. I can talk to Katie about that. I can talk to Jenny about that. Those are the people that you really trust and want in your circle, and ideally are also believers, Christ followers. Not just in name. I say I'm a Christian and I'm also awesome, but then I do all horrible things every time that I'm not at church. That's not what I'm talking about. Actual followers of Christ who want, desire, yearn to live for him. That's a whole different ballgame. We know that. So, as you can see, I have a couple little of props over here we're going to use. This is my own version of sand. And you can see there's already some in the container here, et cetera. That's fine. So the sand represents any sins that you're dealing with, any negative aspects of, let's say, your personality. So maybe it's not, there doesn't have to necessarily be just about sinning. It could be something that you just is not beneficial about yourself that you want to change. For instance, learning to filter who I tell what. That's a challenge for me, but it's not necessarily a sin. So there's probably things like that too that we're all trying to figure out. It's all in there. We're working on it. But then we also have things that we really care about, really care about. Hopefully God is number one, right? I'll get it later. His word, the creation that he's given us, the friends and family that we have. Well, that's not going to work. the friends and family that we have, for some people, the job, the fact that you have a job and a paycheck, those are,
Our ministry.
Ministry, absolutely. Children, if you have them, your parents. I mean, it could be any number of things, right? Things that we really hold dear and that we want to nourish and be intentional about, right? So there's all those things. Whatever that thing is for you, this is what we got. However, when we start hanging out with these people and getting their sand, some of it comes out into us. Oh, my treasures are starting to get buried. That's really weird. Oh, you mean I'm not worshiping as often as I could because I'm going out with my friends on Friday night when they get drunk and I don't, so it's okay? Or I'm involved in so many church things because I'm so cool and God's going to love me because of all the things that I'm doing, but I don't talk to him or read his word, right? Being discontent with things that you don't like. Thanks, God. There's that. So there's one I have to work on. So anyway, there's a ton of things that sand then covers up all these treasures that you had and held dear, and you can't see them anymore. They're covered by all of this, all these trappings, the issues that we have. It could be things that aren't even under control. But anyway, those things are getting in the way, and that sand covers that stuff up. What we have to do is be really aware, cognizant, awakened about how people are affecting us and in what ways. And we have to be evaluating, possibly daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, how our circles are influencing us in negative or positive ways. And obviously I'm focusing on these people here, but this can also apply to probably these. I don't know so much these, but can, you know, be part of that. It can be, those people can be part of it as well. Excuse me. So when you do that self-evaluation and you realize, oh, when I'm with so-and-so, and I'm praying that God has already given you names of people to think about. I know I am. When I'm with so-and-so, I tend to be a little more this, and I don't really like that. I don't like being that way. Should I maybe not be with this person as much? Okay, maybe. Pray about it. See what God has to say. Maybe it's just because they don't know him yet. So do I get rid of that friend, or do I say, oh no, I want to keep that friend. I just need to be careful about what I do with them and how I'm affected by them. If you're not easily affected by other people, if you are, you probably should just get rid of them. But if you have, you know, if you're kind of stubborn like me, you might be able to withstand it for a while. But don't give them this amount of you. You give them this, this, or this amount of you. I would say one of these two. Because they don't need to know your inner struggles, nor will they understand them if they are not fellow Christ followers. The things that we think about, that we want to be, the things like trying to live for Christ and trying to live like him, etc., those are not the same concerns that the world has. We know that. That's why we're misfits / counterculture, whatever makes you happier. And so they're not going to be able to help with you with this. So that's why your inner circle needs to be the kind of people that are going to say, hey, you kind of are a different person around so-and-so. Maybe you should think about distancing yourself or cutting off completely, which, by the way, I think we all know, that can apply to family. Just because someone is related to you by blood does not mean that it's good to have them in your life. Amen. And there are so many people who don't get that because our society says, if it's family, you have to help them. You have to be there. You have to spend time with them. No, you don't. No, you don't. If those people or that person is toxic, if they are, if they're causing your life all kinds of misery, whatever the thing is, if that person is not willing to change with the two of you talking to each other and you don't want that influence, and forget that they're family. They're gone. Gone. So that's also, and Jesus kind of even says that at one point. I think it was him with the, you must love me and hate your father. That was him, right? Well, yeah, he said me. But anyway, I do want to point out, though, that for that particular verse, when he says hate, it is not the kind of hate, like it's not capital H hate where you actually hate that person, because clearly we're not supposed to do that. I learned from a pastor a long time ago, blew my mind. He had been to the Holy Land, and there is a practice that the sellers use in their markets to get people to buy their wares. So let's say these are apples. We didn't even talk about this, did we? Katie, help me. Anyway, these are apples. And the seller wants you to buy this one. And you're looking at both. They say, well, why don't you hate this one and love this one? All it means is choose God over your family and your friends. That's all that means. It doesn't actually mean to hate, because that drove me nuts until high school, college, I think. Because I was like, why would God tell us to hate someone? That's not exactly what's happening. But anyway, why did I bring that up? Someone must have needed to hear it. Anyway, so when you're doing this evaluation and you're looking at your life and the things that you are trying to do better, and you realize that there's all these extra things that are happening that you don't want to, there's all these extra people that you don't want to influence you as much or not at all, then you have to get rid of that sand. You have to flush it out of your life. So as you sift that sand out of your life, all your treasures become available again. You can see them again, right? I know. Oh, God. Anyway, I was like, that's really good. I'm going to use that. So then, of course, we have to be careful what our treasures are, too. Do you want treasures that lead you toward the kingdom or that lead you away? Hopefully, we all want treasures that lead you toward. And that can be anything. It can be a talent. It can be a hobby. It can, obviously, that includes your witness and things like that. Those are the big ones. We kind of all know that. But it can also include those other things. The point is, we always want to be moving toward the kingdom and not away. And so are these people helping me to move toward the kingdom, or are they helping me move away from the kingdom? That's kind of why I feel like they're the same side of they're the opposite sides of the same coin. Accountability is going to help you become better. Whatever word you want to use for this, willowing out the chaff, let's call it that, is it, if you have this extra chaff in your life, then that's going to be a problem for you as well. However, you need to make sure that there's a balance of what you hear from God and wise counsel that you get, as long as that wise counsel is filtered through the Holy Spirit and or God's word and or God. You know what I mean? So you'll notice after a while the Bible that there's a lot of about balance and a lot about intention. For example, if you are in a car and unfortunately somebody runs out in the road in front of you and you hit them, you didn't intend to hit that person, obviously. So that's not like a sin issue. I'm sure you're traumatized by it, but it's not a sin issue. It wasn't something that you did. But if you did purposely, and we've watched cases like that too, run someone over with your car, that's definitely intentional. And you would definitely need to work on something like that if you later then become a Christ follower, which I would hope. But we hope that for everybody. I also wanted to talk about the kinds of things that can take you away, or your relationship with Christ is not as deep or as rich as it could be with these other things. So the one example I gave was going out with friends when you could be at church, or preparing your heart for it. There's a lot of times where some of my friends want to go out on Saturday night. And I'm okay with it as long as it's not a day that I'm speaking or on worship team. You know what I mean? Because my best friend likes to go to bed at like 8:30, like a weirdo. So we never stay out late anyway. But on the Saturdays before me being on worship team or doing a message, I'm not going out with anybody. I'm at home. I might not be like on my knees and praying, although that probably would be better, but I am not focusing on all these other things. I'm trying to focus on the message or the songs we're doing and try to be more intentional about how I present that information. But it can also be good things. Like I said, if you do things for church, but your motive is because it makes you look good or because you have power, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. And for you specifically, that would be a sin issue that you need to look at. But that may not affect other people. Other people may just do it because they love to do it. That's fine too. You just have to look at what the motivations are behind what you're doing. The other one, this is one mom's gonna roll her eyes about. if you are binging Netflix or YouTube instead of being in the Word of God, I'll just leave that there. she's giving me looks. The main point of all of this is, and something I want you I mentioned it before, so I'm hoping that that name or those names of people have kind of been marinating for you. But I really want you to think about and take some time to pray about who you're picking up sand or glitter from. Who's giving you sand or glitter that is taking away from your life relationship with God? What do you need to do? What do I need to do to alter the level of that relationship or cut it off completely? Where is the sand your own and other people's. What areas of your life are affected by the sand? Everything comes back to accountability, at least for me. Who are you sharing with about the sand you need to deal with? So who's your accountability people? Who are the people in your inner circle? Are you talking to them about these things so that you can partner in helping you to be better in that area? Who holds you accountable for growing in that area? So the main people we're thinking about are the people that are here, that are leading us toward the kingdom or away from the kingdom. And what do we need to do with this group? That's not something any of us can answer for you. That's a you and God thing. But I'm sure that there are people that have come to mind. I know there were for me looking at this. Yeah. I'm going to pray now. Father, I thank you for, again, for this day. I pray that and want to give time to us to just be in your presence, to really talk to you about the people in our inner circle, to really start praying about and really examining how they influence us, and are those influences to our gain or our detriment? Father, I know that this short time in the service is not enough to make sweeping changes. But I just pray that you have laid on our hearts people that should and should not be in our inner circle. And that as we pray about this with you and think about the situation and maybe even journal about it, that you would help us to clearly see who that the people are or that person is that is dragging us away from the kingdom. I pray that you would give us the will and the wisdom to not only know who those people are, but to know how to interact with them afterward, if at all. Is this someone that just needs to not have access to all of us? Or is it someone that is dangerous in some way and needs to be out of our lives completely? Help that to be really clear to us, because I know that's muddy waters. And we love who we love. And even though love is a choice, it can be a really hard one. Really hard. But with your guidance and your strength, we can do anything. We can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us as long as we lean on him. I thank you so much for the message today. If I'm the only one who got anything out of it, I'm okay with that too. But I know that I did, for sure. I pray that you would help us to marinate on this and be really mindful about the next steps in this area. Thank you for sending your son and the Holy Spirit to help us with these things. We could not do them on our own. In your precious and holy name, amen. So I believe Katie has some Father's Day information for you.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well,
I
said it at the beginning.
Oh, then I'll just remind everybody then. Root beer floats. It's as you're going out. You can, there's several different flavors. Yes. Yes. So I'll just ramble on for a little bit. How's that? Oh, man. All right. I guess you can have fellowship. I'm not going to. Oh, should I? I'm afraid if I say the phrase, you'll all leave. But I don't want you to leave. I want you to have root beer float or whatever.
Wing for
Okay, God is good.
All the time.
Amen.